God has been so good to all of us, and we can agree with that tonight. He just pours His blessings out on us, and we thank Him for His goodness. You pray for me. I didn't get a new watch battery today. You be turning to Numbers chapter 7. I know that a lot of people aren't used to preachers preaching much out of the Old Testament. I preach a lot out of the Old Testament because it's all the Bible. Amen. Turn to the book of Numbers, if you will. I like the book of Numbers. In our church, we've got a registry and we keep the attendance record there. And on our website, we keep under the services that's listed, we keep a listing of those that make public professions of Christ for their salvation. When we report from outreach, we oftentimes will list numbers of people that have been touched that we know of or helped in some way. And a fellow told me one time, said, God doesn't care about numbers, preachers. I said, well, He must. He's got a book in the Bible named that. Now, it's wrong to count up numbers to see your own strength and to take pride. But oftentimes I think that people don't really want to take a look because they can't see where they're at. Some of the largest churches in the county, I find out, they oftentimes think they're the largest church because they don't count the people. And if you don't count the people, I guess you could say whatever you wanted to. If you don't count your people on Sunday morning, someone asks you Monday, how many did you have? You could say, oh, somewhere under 2,000. I'd say it'd probably be the truth. Probably would be somewhere under 2,000. But God keeps track of us, doesn't He? And I'm not saying that we're to boast. I'm saying that we're to be challenged. Just because things were done in the Old Testament, and we look at those things, if we're not careful, we'll miss the real lesson of what God is trying to teach us in comparison to our life today. See, that's what's so refreshing to me. You can take verses of Scripture that are hundreds of years old, and it is applicable today, and it applies as much today as though it was being written this very moment for the needs in your life. This passage deals with the tabernacle. The tabernacle was given by God. The plans given by the Lord. The blueprint came from heaven. It was built for a people that were on a journey. Over 100 ton of silver were in the sockets to hold up the foundation. It was for a people on the move. The reason the foundation was so large is because everything that God does, the foundation is more than adequate to let everything else hang on it and it'll hold everything else up. If a church is built on the right foundation, it'll never collapse. That was the song we heard tonight. The church is not going under. She's going up. It's not getting worse. It's getting better. Why? Because we're nearer home than when we first believed. And here is this tabernacle now. It's been completed. And the Bible says in verse 1, and it came to pass on the day that Moses had fully set up the tabernacle, and had anointed it and sanctified it, and all the instruments thereof, both the altar and all the vessels thereof, and had anointed them and sanctified them, but the princes of Israel. Now notice, this is not the priest. Princes of Israel. Heads of the house of their fathers, who were the princes of the tribes, and were over them that were numbered, offered. And they brought their offering before the Lord. Now get the picture. The princes were not priests. They would never have anything to do with the spiritual service or ministry in this tabernacle. But they still believed that God was in it. And they said, so we're going to give our offering. We want to be supportive of what God is doing. So they said, we want to be a part. We're not priests, but we want to do what we can do. So they bring their offering, and look what they brought. They brought 6 covered wagons and 12 oxen. A wagon for 2 of the princes, and for each one an ox. And they brought them before the tabernacle, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take it of them, that they may be to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt give them unto the Levites, to every man according to his service. So here we are now. We have these six covered wagons, 12 oxen, 2 oxen for each wagon. And he said, take those and divide them up among the Levites to make their service easier, their job easier. So really what they're doing is they're supporting those that are in the work of the Lord to make the job easier for them. And he said, Moses took the wagons and the oxen and gave them unto the Levites. Now watch. Watch closely. 2 wagons and 4 oxen he gave unto the sons of Gershon according to their service. He said to Gershon, for the job that you do, here's 2 wagons, 4 oxen. 4 wagons and 8 oxen he gave unto Merari, according unto their service, under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest. So he turns to Merari and he said, here's 4 wagons, 8 oxen. But the Bible says in verse 9, but unto the sons of Kohath he gave what? Now stay with me now. Unto the sons of Kohath he gave what? None. Why? Well, he tells us why. Because the service of the sanctuary belonging unto them was that they should bear upon their shoulders. When God spoke to my heart about this message, I had gone through a week where it was either 5 or 6 different people that I had met with that had tremendous burdens in their life. Burdens that I can't reveal from this pulpit. Burdens that I'll never be able to share with others, that I'll just have to pray about. Heavy loads. But out of those that I talked to, I found a common thread with every one of them. When they'd share their burden, and even though every one of the burdens were different, they all said this same thing with a broken heart. Preacher, it just isn't fair. And you may think that it's of my flesh and not of the Spirit, but there was a part of me as I sat and listened to them and I thought, no, it's not. I was driving down the highway the same week when God was dealing with me about this text. I turned the radio on and I was listening to a station in a metropolitan area. It was a talk radio show. And a gentleman that owned a car dealership, he'd been over it for like 30-some years. It had been in his family. They had made money every year. And it was right at the collapse of some of the motor companies. And they were on the cut list after being profitable for all those years and inheriting that business. And now he felt as though that everything that he had worked for was gone in a matter of time. And the gentleman said on national radio, practically reaching all across this nation, he said to the radio announcer, it just isn't fair. And I thought, no, it's not. We sat with a preacher last night. He had worked for General Motors, retired from General Motors, had his insurance through them. They got a notice, and at first it looked like they were going to lose their health insurance at one of the most critical times of his life. And he said, boy, it just isn't fair, is it, preacher? And I don't mean to leave you with such a downer tonight, but I'm just going to have to tell you the truth. Life isn't always fair. Good people get sick. Good preachers get voted out of churches. Good friends get betrayed. Good people lose their jobs. Good people sometimes will have a spouse that decides, I just don't want to be married anymore, and they're out the door. Good people go through some things that seem so unfair. Good preachers sometimes that have known this book inside and out can be faced with something like Alzheimer's, where they no longer can recognize their own family or know those that love them the most. And they're isolated from everyone, and they no longer know those around them. The best of people can go through some things that just doesn't seem fair. Then it dawned on me. It was fair for Gershon. He got something to carry his load. It was fair for Merari. He got something to carry his load. But Kohath, the Lord said, you don't get anything. What you got to do is shoulder the burden all by yourself. I want to tell you something, folks. I know you're going through some things, and we all go through some things, but I want to tell you something. If God filtered it through His hands and allowed it into your life, just grin and bear it. Buckle down and shoulder it. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't turn your back on it. Don't say, God's forsaken me. There's some burdens in life that the Lord says, I do not want to impress a beast of burden to carry it. I only want those that love me and are sanctified to my glory and purpose to carry that load. God's saying, I never put that load on you unless I knew that I could trust you to carry that burden. So all I can tell you to do is shoulder it. Now, all my years of preaching, I don't know why I never saw this. I don't know why it never crossed my mind when I read it. But I had to go back and see, well, if the Lord didn't give them anything for their service, what kind of a job did He give them to do? And then it dawned on me. See, back in Numbers chapter 4, when they get ready to move, every time they'd move, God gave them instructions on how to move. He had a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. You know the story, wherever the pillar went, they were to follow. They would be prepared to move with that pillar. Some historians say that pillar went as high as 1 to 3 miles in height up into the sky so the whole camp could see that pillar. But God said, when the pillar stays, you stay. But when it moves, you move with it. That meant that all they had to do was look up. If you wanted to know where you were supposed to be that day, look up. God was saying you never make a move while you're looking down. You've got to look up. You should never make a crucial decision ever in your life while things are against you or things are going bad or you're down or discouraged. That's not the time to make a decision. Yet I find often when people quit church, quit God, give up on ministry, they many times do that at the lowest place in their life. God says that's the last place you ought to be when you make a decision. A fellow told me one time, I'm leaving my church. I said, why? He said, somebody hurt me. I said, you mean you never got hurt when you were a sinner? The church is full of people. The church is not a building. Yes, at times we will hurt one another, not even intending to. And some of you are just mean. You do intend to. I've run across a few mean folks in my life. I know their tricks. I know their gimmicks. I know how they work. You don't do this as long as what I've done and not know a little bit about people. I don't know everything about people, but I know mean people when I meet them. Getting lonely up here now. He said, when it's time to move, this is what I want you to do. I want the sons of Aaron to take the veil down. And I want them to get the pieces of furniture. I'm not going through all the order for time's sake. But I want you to put them in a proper order. In chapter 4 of Numbers, he gave them the order that they were to put everything in. And he said, you bring all of the pieces together in this order. He said, then you take the badger skin and you wrap that up in the badger skin. That was to keep it dry and to protect it from the elements. And he said, then you cover it all with a cloth of blue. In other words, make sure heaven's around all of it. Blue in the Bible is always a picture of heaven. Keep yourself waterproof from this world, and after you're waterproof from this world, wrap yourself up in God's glory and make sure the glory of God surrounds you in everything that you do. That badger skin was not beautiful. It was unattractive. It did its job. It was a repellent. But still God said, make sure you're wrapped in something beautiful. And there's nothing like being wrapped in the glory of God. And when the world looks at us, they see Jesus in us, on us, around us, through us. He said, after you get it all covered up, call for the sons of Kohath and have them take the staves. There were rings. They would put the rings, the staves to the rings, put it under their shoulder, and they'd start following the cloud. All of their life, all that they knew was coming along. They never one time got to stand at the table of showbread. They never one time got to stand at the brazen altar. They never stood one time at the laver for cleansing. They never one time got to experience the glory of God in the holiest of holies. They stood back, and at the right time, they were called to do one thing. Stick that stave through that ring. Put that on their shoulder. They could not hoist it on a beast, but they carried it on their shoulder until the cloud stopped, and they would stop also. You're not getting what I'm saying yet. Their whole life they carried something that they never could see. I am in preaching territory right now. It's one thing to carry a burden, but it's another thing to carry a burden that you can't even see. You know that it's a burden and you know that it's a load, but you can't really even see what you're carrying. It's one thing to say, Lord, I'll be willing to carry it, but do you mind, can I participate in the joy of your glory? God says, that's not your job. You just be patient and you carry what I give you to carry. You keep going the way I tell you to go. You don't be concerned about what it is that I place on you. How long you have to carry it, how far you have to go, how much it takes out of you. All you have to do is carry the burden. Amen. Has God ever laid a burden on you? Told you to carry it, and you didn't even know what it was? I don't understand that. Well, has God ever awakened you in the middle of the night and put somebody on your mind so strong that you had no other choice but to get out of your bed, go to your favorite place of prayer, and call out to the Lord and ask God to help that individual? You say, well, were they lost or saved? Oftentimes, they're saved people and you don't know what they're going through. You don't even know why that tremendous burden has come over you. Even with unsaved people that you know, have you ever gone at some point in your life where that all of a sudden you felt so burdened for somebody that was lost, a burden that you could not experience as though you just felt like you were going to die if God didn't save them and lift that burden off of you, and you found yourself at an altar seeking God, saying, Lord, I don't know why, but it just seems like it's such an emergency right now that, Lord, you place this burden on me, and I don't know why, but I'm willing to carry it, Lord. There's a reason why, because if you have burdened me, I know that you're touching them as well, and there's something that you're doing for them. Now that would be terrible if that was the end of all of it. But I got good news for you. That's not the end of the story. They carried a burden that they couldn't even see. That's why you need to pray for your preachers. There's burdens that for some reason God has allowed to be placed on my shoulders that nobody will ever know about. Except maybe me and the individuals or individual that's going through it. I can't talk to my wife about it. I love my wife. My wife is as confidential as any preacher's wife could be, but I can't talk to her about it. I could talk to anyone I would talk to her about, but I can't even talk to her about it. I can't talk to Brian about it. He travels the country with me, but I can't tell him about it. Sometimes I can't even tell their own spouse of the individual about it. Would you help me preach this tonight? Why can't you tell them if you broke that confidentiality one time? They'd lose respect for you and you'd never be able to minister to them again. I don't know how many preachers we have in the congregation, but I know the ones that are seasoned would say a hearty amen to this. You tell something one time that you're not supposed to tell out in public and it comes back, it'll ruin a lifetime of ministry in a church in one moment of time by telling the wrong thing to the wrong person at the wrong time. There are some burdens that you just have to carry. Oh, I'm feeling God. Earlier this year, we'd gone through a tremendous struggle. Only God knows about it. My wife knows about some of the things with a lot of our people whom we love. Things out of our control and out of our hands. Things that we sought heaven about. And I knew that it wasn't that God didn't love us and that God couldn't answer prayer. But God just kept saying, burden, carry it, shoulder it, shoulder it. I remember one Friday I came in from the office, and that day we'd gone hard all day long. Brian and I normally will put in 80 to 100 hours a week. You heard me right, 80 to 100 hours a week. And I came in that evening. It was the first time I had any time with my wife that week. It was just one of those weeks. Nobody's fault. It was just that way. She said, we need to get something to eat. And I didn't have time to fix dinner. We had volunteers in that day. Had about 50 volunteers in the ministry. I said, that's okay, honey. I said, let's just go back up to the office. And we'll get out some of the leftovers there that we fed the volunteers and we'll eat there. And she said, do you want to go back to the office after you've been there? Is there something you need to do? And I said, no. She said, well, why do you want to go back there? I said, well, it's after office hours. And she said, my point exactly, why do you want to go there? And I looked at her and I said, so I can hide. Hide from what? I said, God knows my frame. I don't know how much more I can carry. She said, let's go to the office. We sat down and we ate a sandwich. We drank a soda together. In a little while, she took me in her arms and she put her hands on my head and she started to pray for me. And she said, honey, it will be all right. It was amazing what 2 hours in prayer and cut off did. I never felt more like preaching in all my life than I did the next time I got in the pulpit. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in over my head right now. Some of you don't understand those things, maybe. And I'm not being cruel to you. I'm trying to prepare you so when it comes your way, you'll understand that maybe God will let your mind go back to this night in Marion Enterprise Baptist Church where a preacher came your way and said there might come a day when the burden will be greater than you'll be able to bear. And you'll remember something that if God could not have entrusted you with that, He wouldn't have allowed it to fall on you. So as I kept thinking about that and studying on this, God gave me a verse of Scripture. Let me read it to you. Just give me a couple more minutes, I'll be done. In 1 Chronicles 15:22, the Bible says, "And Chenaniah, chief of the Levites, was for song. He instructed about the song because he was skillful." Now I'm studying this message, and every time I study it, God keeps taking me to this verse about a fellow named Chenaniah. I don't know about you, but out of all the names in all the world, I wouldn't pick that name for my son. And I got to thinking about it. I'm not saying there's nothing new under the sun. I know that. But I got to thinking, I've never heard anything preached about this fella, Chenaniah. Who is Chenaniah? Where did he come from? Why was God telling me to go back to that verse about Chenaniah? So I started to look up his family tree. And I started to look up the family tree of Kohath. And as I started searching, you know what I found out? Kohath had a son, according to 1 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 2. His name was Izhar. And lo and behold, Izhar had a descendant whose name, according to chapter 26 and verse 29 of 1 Chronicles, his name was Chenaniah. So I found out that Chenaniah was Kohath's great-great-grandson. And when I read about Chenaniah, the Bible says that God did something special for Chenaniah. Out of all the Levites, God said, "I'm going to give him a song, and he's going to be skillful with the song."
Amen.
So here we have Chenaniah, the descendant of Kohath, the burden bearer, singing a song. But by the way, Chenaniah's duty didn't change. He was still the burden bearer. He was still in the family that carried the burden that nobody could see. He was still in the group that was willing to carry the load on his shoulder. But God said, "Listen, I know you're carrying a burden that you can't see. But by the way, I'm not going to let you go and do that for nothing." God said, "I'm going to give you something greater than all the wealth in this world." God said, "For the burden that you carry, I'm going to give you a song." And the heavier the burden gets, the more skillful that you'll get with the singing, and the sweeter the song will get, and the better music that you'll make, because the heavier the load, the sweeter the message of the song that God gives to you to sing. That's why they can just keep on singing. You know what they did when they carried that load on their shoulder? They sang a song. Well, glory. You won't find as many songs coming out today. And I'm not being critical. But songs today, if the Lord was to tarry His coming 50 years, you won't find songs that will stay with people today. They'll be popular a little while and then they'll fade away. But they won't go into anybody's hymn books or anybody's archives. Do you know what we find ourselves doing? Going back to a lot of the songs of yesteryear. Brian told us tonight, "It is well with my soul," written in the time of great sorrow. During the house fire where the great evangelist Luther Bridges lost his family, God gave him the song, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know." You'll find out the song gets sweeter when the load gets heavier. God does something special for us. Every time He asks us to carry a burden, God says, "I'm not going to let you carry the burden. If I just gave you money, you'd spend it and you'd forget it. But if I gave you a song, if I gave you joy in your heart for carrying that burden, you'll never get over that." So you may die and live in a shack as far as this world is concerned, have to live by the creek and drink water out of a jelly jar. But bless God, you'll have a song in your heart that you'll know it is well with your soul. And no matter what you face, God is there with you. Burdens are great, but God blesses us for carrying the burden. Roger Duncan, a dear friend of ours, a lot of you know Brother Roger. He's a great preacher, isn't he, Fred? Great man, a dear friend. Roger's got a love for people. It's unbelievable. Pastor a church the size that he has such love and compassion. And his whole church has that same love and compassion. They carry the burden for everybody. Want to make sure everybody's taken care of and helped. And they just got a heart of gold. And old Roger one day had asked, they take care of a little Haitian pastor there. They have services there in the Tampa area. And they take care of him and his family. His name is Molin. Brian knows Molin well. I don't know. Fred's probably met Molin. Molin doesn't have any arms. And one day Roger had asked Molin to go visiting the hospital with him. And they made their visits that morning. And after Molin looked at him, he said, I don't feel well. And he realized that Molin has a sickness that he has to eat every so often. He doesn't eat a lot, but he has to eat frequently to keep his blood sugar levels right. And he said, Molin, do you need something to eat? He said, yes. He said, so I pulled through a fast food restaurant and went through the drive-thru, asked him what he wanted, and said, I got his food, ordered it, pulled up. I paid for it. Handed me the food. I set it down in the vehicle. And he said, I started to pull out. And he said, I started to reach in the bag to get what I got. And it dawned on me just that quick. Molin can't reach in the bag. He doesn't have any arms. And he said, I looked over at Molin, and there he was sitting, staring at the bag. And Roger said, it dawned on me, oh my, I've got to feed this preacher. And he said, so I pulled over off alongside the road. He said, Molin, would you like for me to help you with your food? And he said, I sure would. He said, I reached down in and I got the food. And he said, I started feeding that little preacher. And said, oh, he was so happy. Said he was absolutely thrilled to death. And he said, the longer that I kept feeding him, the more the glory of God kept blessing me. He said, finally I got back home and he said, my wife called me. She said, Rog, where are you at and what have you been doing? He said, honey, I'm sorry I'm late. I've been feeding Jesus. God gives you a song for the burdens that you carry. We have a mutual friend down south. And I've heard her testimony. She was sick for years, not well herself. She had an arm that was all crippled up. She couldn't do anything with that old crippled arm. One day while in a service, she stood up to testify. She had an elderly couple that lived just a few doors down from her. And they got old. And they couldn't fix food for themselves. And they stopped the local Meals on Wheels service and they didn't have anything, and it dawned on her one day, those old folks, there's no one to take care of them. So she said, I went over one day to visit them, and she said, you know, something dawned on me. She said, it's just me and my husband, and it's hard to cook for just two people. Said, if you all don't care, said, from here on out, every evening when I cook supper, I'll just cook a little extra. And said, I'll bring you down some food if that'd be okay. And you know how older people are that's worked hard all their life. And the old fellow said, now, I don't want no charity. Ma'am, you're a good neighbor, but I don't want no charity. She said, it's not charity. And the little lady said, oh, that'd be too much trouble. And she said, no, it's no trouble at all, I promise. She said, you better wait and taste my cooking to see. Said, I'll just bring you some tomorrow night. So she fixed a little extra and took it down and set it down for him. And they wouldn't eat a bite in front of her. And when she left, she said, I'll see you now tomorrow night. And they said, that's so kind of you. She said, I went back the next night, and when they opened the door, said, the wife opened the door and let me in and said, there he sat with a fork and spoon in his hand.
He said, we hadn't had home cooking in I don't know how long. And I thank you so much. And she said, we got so close. Said a few days passed. One day she thought, maybe they need something else. So she asked the elderly lady, she said, you know, I've been praying for you and it's just been on my heart heavy that maybe there's something else that I could do to help you with your load. And she said, well, dear, there is something and I'm almost embarrassed to ask. She said, but I'm getting so feeble. I can't get in and out of the bathtub. She said, I'm embarrassed to ask you. She said, but could you maybe help me into the bathtub and then just wash my back? It'd feel so good just to have my back washed. And she said, I'd be glad to. Said she went in, she ran the water. She went and got the dear little saint and started to help her in. And she said, all I was thinking about was how God was helping me carry this burden for these people. And she said, I got her down in the bathtub and I started washing her back. And she said, that little lady, when I come around, she said, why, looky there. And she said, I realized my hand that had been crippled almost all of my life suddenly was restored and healthy and fine. Said, while I was carrying the burden for somebody else, the Lord lifted my own load. Oh, I feel preaching coming on tonight. Let me tell you something, you can't quit now. If the whole world turns them back on Jesus, put your sword in the fire and say, I'm going through. Yes, I'm going through. I'll pay the price no matter what others do. And while you bear the burden of others, God will give you a song. Oh, shout it out. I'm sick to death of quitters. If everybody that has ever been saved in this church that used to sing in the choir or used to teach a Sunday school class or used to come to church faithful, if they'd all come tonight, you'd need a sanctuary twice this size to hold them. And you can say what you want to. They're not going to anybody else's church. And they're not serving God devoted anywhere else. They just quit. The burden got heavy and they said, it's not worth it. But you listen to me, it is worth it. It is worth it. It is worth every mile we travel, every message that we preach, every service that we have, every dollar that we give, every song that we sing, every testimony that we share. It is worth it. God said, just shoulder it. Now's not the time to give up. Now's the time to look up and say, I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to do what you gave me to do. And I'm not going to stop now. I'm going to fulfill the load that you've given to me to carry. Oh, glory. I've got to quit. Lord, I wish I had a body that could stand what I feel tonight. Shoulder it. Shoulder it. Shoulder it. Some of you young people, maybe right now you're saying things are good in life. You trust me, it'll come your way. Devil say, you've got it. Let's see what you've got. Let's see what you're made out of. Shoulder it. I talked about Granny Jenkins last night, and this is the truth with my hand before God. There was a reason why she had a shout. And we know what it is. She shouldered it. Most people wouldn't have stood half the things that she had to go through in her lifetime. broken heart and death and sorrow and heartache. But I thought, man, if she carried on like that with the load on her, what's she doing in heaven right now? Shoulder it. Shoulder it. If you've given up, come and pick up your cross. Shoulder it tonight. You're here and you say, I want to be a Christian, but I'm afraid the load will be too heavy. But God gives you a song. Almost any hymn book you pick up, the songs that are sung the most frequent in churches across this nation were written during the Great Depression. When people had no one else and nothing else to depend on but God. But might I add, thank God He never quits. Never gives up. Shoulder it.